This is the Talk Show America Show.
And welcome one and all to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it. Very much indeed, folks. It is July 18th, 2011, and we're back on the air, folks. We were off for about a month getting some studio equipment fixed and replaced. He has to try to get a better quality audio for you for the show, because the last two shows that I submitted to the networks just were horrible audio quality, and I apologize profusely for that, but we have made some changes, and hopefully this is going to work better for us. So we've gotten some new equipment and some we'll be able to present to you hopefully a better quality audio show, that's for sure. And that's what our goal is here at Talk Show America, that's for sure. We're just trying to get everything, all solidified here. And it seems to be working well. And so I hope that you'll listen to the show. And, of course, we're going to be, again, on every week. The last show we did was, I believe, June 14th, I think it was the last show that we did. And the audio quality on that was a little bit better. But the show before was horrible, and the quality was just getting bad. And it ended up being that we had a bad mixer, and I didn't even realize it, and it was causing some problems with hums and all that other stuff. So we were able to get another mixer that seemed to fix it, and there was some other equipment that we bought to improve the overall sound quality. So we're hoping that this is going to be it, folks. And you can let us know. You can contact me, JR at TalkShowAmerica.com, the letter J, the letter R, at TalkShowAmerica.com. That's how you can get a hold of me if you want to, about the show and about the quality. Don't be afraid to tell me if you think it's better. Don't be afraid to, offer suggestions if you think you may know something that may make it work better as well, because certainly we're open to those suggestions as well. We certainly, would like to hear from anyone who has any expertise more than I have on this stuff, that's for sure. Anyway, lots to talk about, folks. I wanted to talk a lot about the debt ceiling today, because this is the thing that right now is in the news. The raising of the debt ceiling, or the not raising of the debt ceiling, what will it do to our economy? What will it do to our credit rating, according to Standard & Poor's and Moody's? And where would we be in the credit rating? Of course, you've heard warnings already. There have been warning signs out. If you follow my blog or my Facebook page, you'll see that there's warnings already out by these both of these organizations that our rating, the country's rating, credit rating basically will be below AAA. We'll have to see, folks. The thing is, and the problem is, that I understand that we're going to have to try to, keep an eye on our credit rating as a country. There's no doubt about that. But the other problem that we have is this, folks. What do we do? Do we continue to raise the debt ceiling until, is the sky the limit? It's the question. Or do we finally buckle down and say, we need to control spending in this country, and we need to cut spending in this country, and we need to get it done as soon as possible so that we can get ourselves out of debt and back on the other side? It's a good question. Now, obviously there's people that are concerned that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we're going to default on our debt. It's going to destroy our credit rating. Well, first of all, folks, I highly doubt that that's going to happen, number one. I doubt that we're going to default on our debt, first of all. What will have to happen is the president is going to have to decide, we have 56% of of the budget is going to be spent. We borrow right now, folks, 44 cents on every single dollar in this country. 44 cents on every dollar is what we borrow. And obviously, the other 56 cents, we're going to have to figure out where that goes. And so obviously the debt, the debt that we have would be the first thing that we'd have to address. And then we'd go from there on where other money is going to go. There's a lot of scare tactics going on out there right now that, it's going to affect Social Security. You're going to have to cut Social Security. You're going to have to cut Medicaid. You're going to have to cut Medicare. You're going to have to cut this, cut that. Well, number one, that's just not true, folks. There are other programs that can be cut without touching those programs. That's for sure. So it's BS. It's a scare tactic. It's used to scare the seniors and the people that rely on Social Security and those other programs, for their existence and their health care. It's BS. It just is. And there are other places to cut first. But of course, you have an obstinate president in here who doesn't want to hear anything else but what his program will do, and which is basically bankrupt us, folks. And that's where we have to, keep an eye on things. Now, classic example here, folks, is the Republican controlled House of Representatives voted this year to approve Paul Ryan's proposal that would put the government on a gradual path to a surplus by 2040, and plans to vote on a balanced budget amendment next week that would cut and cap it, folks. This balanced budget amendment next week that would cap federal spending at 18% of our gross domestic product. Now, the only proposal we've heard from President Obama has publicly revealed in 2011, which would, according to the Congressional Budget Office, increase the deficit by $26 billion this year alone, $83 billion next year, and $2.7 trillion over the next decade. Now, debt limit. I mean, this is just ridiculous, folks, because this is the thing. If we increase the debt limit, folks, we're just going to keep borrowing to pay this money. And there's no way we can continue to sustain that. I don't care what anybody says. It's ridiculous. It's a foolhardy plan, and it makes no sense. And I'm just wondering where the Obamanomics people are. We all know where they are, but... you think there's a brain amongst one of them in there. Additionally, although the annual budget deficits would decline somewhat between 2013 and 2015 under Obama's proposal, according to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, folks, after that they would start increasing again, going up every year from 2016 to 2021. And that's the last year that was estimated by the Congressional Budget Office. In short, basically, the only budget proposal Obama's put forward this year for the public to review and analyze puts the federal government on a path to eventual bankruptcy. I mean, this is what we have to look at. We can no longer sustain these types of debts, folks. And it's clear. It's hit us in the face. It's clear that we cannot continue down the path we have been going all along. And yet there are people that want to do this. And there are idiots out there now who basically have said, Ronald Reagan raised the debt limit. Well, that's true, folks. But there were different times and different circumstances. And obviously, he also cut spending and cut taxes, things of that nature, folks, to try to help out as well. It wasn't just raise the debt limit and that's it. We raised the debt limit a bit. We did, like I said, In other times, in different times, we can no longer sustain this. We cannot do it. Times are different now. Things are different. The economy is stalling. The unemployment is. I saw an article the other day, and I agree with it, from one of these financial experts that says unemployment will never drop below 7% again. And you know what? I believe it. I don't know what Barack Obama thinks he's doing, but it's horrendous to think that we're going to allow this, this plan that he's put forth to come out, because it's going to bankrupt us. It's where it's going to put us. I mean, look at the just hear the numbers, folks. Just this year alone, if we allowed Obama's plan to go through, we would increase the deficit by $26 billion. Just this year alone. Next year, $83 billion more. And the year after that, $2.7 trillion. Well, excuse me, well, the next decade after that, obviously, $2.7 trillion. Just amazing. I mean, those types of numbers have got to scare you, yet it doesn't seem to bother these people at all. They just go along with things and, hey, this is the way we're going to do it, and this is how we'll fix it. And you're not going to fix it adding to the debt, folks. We're just not going to. I'm sorry. Listen, look at your own household and think of it that way. You know, people always criticize me for using this analogy. They say, oh, you know, you can't use that analogy, Jay. This is a federal budget government, not a household budget government. But folks, the bottom line is that this is really, if you put it in perspective, really no different in the long run if you use the simple analogy. And that is, if I'm in debt up to my ears in my household, the last thing I want to be doing is going to my credit cards and raising the amount I can borrow up to some crazy number, just so I can keep borrowing to keep my house my household afloat. It's how long is it that's going to be before it's done? Because now you've maxed that out, and now where do you go? And now what do you do? Eventually, you're going to go bankrupt. That's what's going to happen. And that's exactly the same analogy here. It's the federal government, yes, but it's basically the same simple idea. You know, if you can't pay the debt you have now, you're going to borrow more money, put up the debt ceiling so you can borrow more money to pay the debt. You can't keep doing this. So common sense tells you this. But this is where we have gone awry, because we have allowed those in the government, and this is on both sides of the aisle, this isn't just on one side in this case, those in the government to try to get us to think that, you know, this budget is the government's budget and financing is just too complicated for us little people to figure out, and we got to leave it to the congressman and the president and the rest of these people to figure it out. Well, common sense, folks, is that if this is no different than your household budget, except that it's just a bigger house and just a bigger household, it's the same thing. You cannot go forth and, you know, up the limit on your credit cards to some ridiculous, you know, limit that you know that eventually you're just not going to be able to pay, because eventually you're going to go bankrupt. It's as simple as that. I mean, how much more simple can it be? It's the same thing here, folks. Just obviously, as I said, it's a bigger household, if you put it that way. But you imagine this, $2.7 trillion over the next decade if we allow Barack Obama's plan to go into place. This is ridiculous. We need to cap this spending, as simple and no new taxes right now, because people can't afford even to do that. The people can't afford this. And all these talk about new taxes. Cut the spending. Now, of course, Obama says he's going to veto the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act, and he says we don't need a balanced budget act. We don't need a balanced budget, folks. This is your president talking. We don't need a balanced budget. We don't need no stinking balanced budgets. I mean, what? Excuse me. The man doesn't seem to want to do anything to rein in the spending and get this country's finances under control. He seems to want to do everything that puts it in the opposite direction. So, you know, many people, you know, that I know, and I'm sure that you know too, are always saying that Barack Obama is out to bankrupt this country. He's out to ruin this country. And you know what, folks? It looks to me like right in our faces, in the open, he is doing just that, or at least attempting to do just that. And it's going to be up to Congress to stop him. And right now we have the House saying, hey, we want a balanced budget amendment. Hey, we've proposed a budget that cuts spending and puts everything into perspective. And then we got the Senate, who's sitting there crawfishing around McConnell, who's, well, you know, we might be able to do this and allow him to have the power to do that. If you give this president the power to do anything except cut spending, he'll do it. We'll never get to the cut spending part. And it's as simple as that. You know, we have got to start realizing that, Congress has got to take the lead here and move on. And, of course, the Senate right now is, I don't know, you know, obviously we don't control the Senate. That's part of the problem. So it's hard to control this. But, I mean, we have our Republicans, Mitch McConnell, proposing this. This plan that the president will have some power to do this and power to do that. The plan is cut the spending. Cut the spending, no new taxes, balance the budget. That should be the plan all the way. It should not be what these want to do, and certainly not what the president wants to do. That's for sure, because in my opinion, it's going to put us right out of control in this country, and we will go bankrupt. There's no doubt about it. Because we're not going to be able to pay what we're borrowing. I mean, have we learned nothing from this yet? It appears that we haven't. It appears that we just continue to go on and thinking that we're just going to be able to borrow our way out of this. Not us per se, folks, as people, but Congress, the president. At least the House is acting somewhat responsible, although... Boehner's been pretty good at making sure that we're not going to do anything here. But I think he was thinking about some kind of deal at some point in time, too. But I think the Tea Party movement has kiboshed that, folks, because they have heard loudly from the Tea Party movement people like you and me. They have heard loudly from them. So that definitely, in my opinion, is putting pressure on Boehner to make sure that he doesn't. He doesn't do something that they don't want. But the Senate just seems to think it's going to do whatever it wants, and that's just the way it is. And I'm just wondering, how long that's going to hold out before you're going to hear rumblings in the Senate, at least from the Republican side. I mean, it's not going to work, folks. We cannot continue to spend money the way we're spending money. We just can't. I don't care what anybody tells you. It cannot happen. We are just too far into debt, and to put ourselves in more debt than we're already in, especially in the amount of debt that Obama wants to put us in, is going to be catastrophic for this country, and it's as simple as that. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages from the Talk Show America show, so don't go away, because we'll return in a moment.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-939-4755. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe, it's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010. 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
All right, folks, and we're back here on the Talk Show America show. Welcome back to the show. We want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to me. Certainly appreciate it very much indeed. And, folks, as we were talking about this, the debt limit here and the debt ceiling and what we're going to do about this and how we're going to try to I know the administration wants to raise the debt ceiling. Obviously, we don't. And this is where we're sitting right now. Many of the Democrats also would like to raise it, but there are some Democrats that don't want to either because of the fact that, again, we're not going to be able to get out of it. Now, according to this CBO's projections, folks, the Congressional Budget Office's projections, if Obama's proposals were enacted, they would add $26 billion to the baseline deficit for this year, as we talked about. And also, folks, as a result, the 2011 deficit would total $1.43 trillion, or 9.5% of the gross domestic product. Under the baseline projection as of April, the Congressional Budget Office estimated the deficit would reach $1.399 trillion. Just unbelievable, folks. Now, in 2012, the deficit under the president's proposal would decline to $1.2 trillion, or 7.4% of the GDP. That shortfall is $83 billion greater than the deficit that the Congressional Budget Office projects under the current baseline. Deficits in succeeding years under President Obama, deficits in the succeeding years under President Obama's proposal would be smaller than the deficit in 2012, although they would still add significantly to the federal debt. In all, the debts would total $9.5 trillion between 2012 and 2021 under the president's budget, or a 4.8% of the total gross domestic product for that period. $2.7 trillion more than the cumulative deficit in the Congressional Budget Office's baseline. This is from the Congressional Budget Office, folks, these reports that we're hearing. Just unbelievable, folks, really. I mean, think about it. $9.5 trillion between 2012 and 2021. This is where we would be. Just amazing. Now, under Obama's proposal, according to the Congressional Budget Office, after 2012, the year-to-year annual deficits would only decline until 2015, so about 3 years, when the deficit would be $748 billion. After that, the deficits would begin increasing again year after year. By 2021, the last year in the CBO projections, the Congressional Budget Office projections, the deficit under Obama's plan would be $1.158 trillion. That would be marginally less than the $1.2 trillion deficit that the Congressional Budget Office estimates will occur in 2012 under Obama's plan. But it also would be $429 billion higher than the $729 billion deficit the Congressional Budget Office estimates would occur in 2021 if the current law were simply maintained as assumed by the Budget Office's baseline estimate. So, I mean, you look at this, and you know, again, the numbers speak for themselves, folks. The numbers speak for themselves. It's amazing to me that we even are still talking about raising the debt ceiling, because, I mean, it's common sense not to, as far as I'm concerned, and the CBO numbers show that if it's left alone, it will be less than if it's tampered with. And yet still, we hear from Obama, we hear from his administration, from some Democrats, that this needs to be done, or else we're going to default, or else we're going to, you know, we're not going to be able to pay our bills. And it's just not true, folks. As I said, the federal government borrows 44 cents of every dollar that it spends. So it borrows almost half of what it spends. But let's just, there's 56 cents more, folks, of the dollar that can be spent. We're just going to have to figure out where we spend it without borrowing it. And that is where, again, the debt would be number one, that we make sure that we don't default on our debts. first. And then we look at programs that we can cut, programs that we can shelve for a while, whatever has to happen and whatever works. You know what? The thing is, we have got to get back down to sacrifice in this country, and that's a lot of what the problem is, too, because many people are not, of course, thinking anything about sacrificing, that's for sure. So, you know, we have to get back down to that and thinking about sacrificing. And that means we may have to give up some of these entitlement programs and things of this nature. Unfortunately, some people aren't ready to do that, although we as conservatives are. Certainly, we're willing to make what sacrifices we have to make to be able to, you know, to see this through, no doubt about it. But this is just craziness. Now, by contrast, the House of Representatives voted on April 15th to approve the budget proposed by House Budget Chairman Paul Ryan. While the Ryan proposal would not balance the budget within the next 10 years, it would gradually reduce anticipated government spending, resulting in a federal surplus by 2040. Now, of course, 2040 is a long way away for a lot of people think, but it won't be for many of our young people. And remember, it's our children and our grandchildren whose future here is at stake. The resulting budget deficits under the proposal would be around 2% of the gross domestic product in the 2020s and would decline during the 2030s, says the Congressional Budget Office's analysis of Ryan's proposal. The budget would be in surplus by 2040 and show growing surpluses in the following decade. Federal debt would equal about 48% of the gross domestic product by 2040 and 10% by 2050, which shows completely, which way would be going in reversing this debt crisis that we're in. Now, you know, as I said, many of us right now probably won't be around to see that. But the bottom line is, folks, it is our children and our grandchildren that we have to think about also in this case. And this, this has to be addressed. This has to be, something has to be done. Certainly it's a disaster if we do not do something with this, and eventually if we allow Obama's proposal to go unscathed, we will end up with bankruptcy for this country, just like as if you were in your household raising the debt limits on your credit cards to a point where and you're maxing them out to the point where you just can't pay for them anymore. So what happens? You go bankrupt. It's as simple as that. That is exactly what happens. Whether people want to admit it or not, that is exactly what happens. Now, on Friday, the House Republican leadership announced that next week, the House will hold a vote on cut, cap, and balance, the proposal to cut federal spending while passing a balanced budget amendment to send to the states for ratification that would make capping federal spending at 18% of the gross domestic product constitutional obligation. Under the balanced budget amendment backed by the Republican leadership, Congress would need supermajority votes in both houses to run a deficit, raise the debt limit, increase taxes, or spend more than 18% of the gross domestic product. Now, this makes sense, folks. This is great. They would need a supermajority of votes in both houses to run a deficit, to raise the debt limit, or to increase taxes or spend more than the 18% of the gross domestic product. This is what we need to do. It makes no sense to go the opposite way. It makes no sense to raise the debt limit and just say, hey, you know, the devil be damned, we'll do what we got to do. We will not default on our obligations, folks. It is BS to think that we will. We are just going to have to find, we're just going to pay the obligations, the debts, and find other ways to cut spending so that we can still, carry on running the country besides. It's not rocket science. It's really not. They'd want you to think it is, but it's not. All right, folks, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and we'll get into some more numbers to show why we should be embracing Ryan's plan. And also the cut, cap, and balance plan, and not Obama's. So we'll be back in a moment, folks, here on the Talk Show America Show. So don't go away, because we'll return in a moment.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe, it's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010, 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-939-4755. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755. 800-939-4755.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
So here's to all the soldiers fighting for you and me, because you wear that uniform, America is free. There is a flag flying so proud, the red, white, and blue, and I can live my life in peace, thanks to you. So here's to all the soldiers who fight for you and me, because you wear that uniform, America is free. Because you keep us safe from harm, America is free.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. And, of course, we appreciate our brave men and women, folks, who fight for our freedoms every single day across the globe. Please remember them in your thoughts, and please remember them in your prayers. And please remember to go to americasupportsyou.mil, folks, where you can send a note to any soldier, all the soldiers. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your sacrifice. For our freedoms, it's greatly appreciated. Something like that is all you need to send them, folks. They'd love to hear from you. And of course, as you know, with all the scuttlebutt that's going on lately, it's not hard to forget about them, but to put them in the background while this stuff is going on, because we've got other things going on in this country. But let's remember that there are still brave men and women who are fighting for our freedoms every single day across the globe out there. And that we need to show them that we support them still as well. So americasupportyou.mil allows you to do that. Allows you to do that for free, not a dime. Go up there and do that. And also there are, care package type things or something, if you want to send anything, that are there that you can get involved in. Cost you some money there, but, I mean, that's entirely up to you if you decide to take into that venture. But let the troops know that we appreciate them. Let them know that we haven't forgotten about them. And that we won't forget about them as long as they're carrying out their missions for our country and for our freedoms. All right. Now, let's get into the Senate part of this, because we know what the House wants to cut cap and balance, and that's a good idea, and hopefully that takes hold and goes through. But here's what the Senate was talking about. Now, the Senate deal... debt deal would let Obama put political plan on pain on installment plan. And this is what Senator Coburn had to say about McConnell's plan. He's from Oklahoma, folks. He said, quote, I think the McConnell plan is more of Washington not taking responsibility. It is a great political plan. It takes the pressure off all of the politicians, but allows us to pass a debt limit without making the hard choices that this country has to make. Quote, unquote, from Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma. That was on Face the Nation the other day. Now, folks, it is highly unlikely that the federal government is going to default on its debt, as I said in the earlier segments. This is just voodoo scare tactics from the left. This is voodoonomics. We're not going to be able to pay our debts, and that's it. We'll be all done. We'll have a terrible credit rating, and we'll be all done, and we won't be able to do anything. It's just not true, folks. We're going to have to reorganize a little bit, but we're not going to default on the debt. You take care of the debt first. Now, the catastrophic consequences of the government reneging on obligations would be dire, but so dire, folks, that no serious person would consider it. Now, President Obama may use the threat of default as part of his negotiation with the Republicans over his request to increase the government's $14.3 trillion borrowing limit. But only, folks, a madman would actually follow through on such a course of action. The administration now uses the phrase default or fail to meet its obligations, pay its bills, when talking about the ongoing impasse on the borrowing limit. It's a nod to the fact that cuts to domestic spending, not failure to pay existing debts, is what would ensure, what would ensue, if the Treasury runs out of money. You know, folks, of late the federal government has been borrowing, as I said, 44 cents of every dollar it spends. If there were really an impasse, it would be up to the president to decide which 56% of the federal obligations would be met with that remaining amount of money. Avoiding default would have to be the top priority, as I said, so you have to reorganize. Now, Obama's also been out there scaring the seniors, folks, and the people that rely on it, saying that programs like entitlement programs like Social Security could be disrupted. If the debt ceiling isn't raised and all this other stuff, it's just not true, folks. Here again, the president is the one in charge of deciding who gets paid in the event of a shortfall. While his administration might send scare letters to seniors as a bargaining tactic with Republicans, it's unlikely that the president will tell pensioners that they can't have the money they paid into the system during their working years. I mean, it's a fallacy to think that the president will let it go this far. Although, again, if the president is of a mindset to destroy this country, destroy the economy, he could do these things. But then you would know exactly what's going on once he does them. There's no doubt about it. Imagine the president keeping open parks, green energy stimulus projects, while telling America's seniors, you're not going to get any checks. It's just not going to happen, folks. It's as simple as that. So these are the things that the Republicans already know, folks, as they head into the final days of negotiations before the president's self-imposed July 22nd deadline for a debt deal, which, according to him, it's got to be raising the debt limit. This is just where we are right now. The key for the GOP, for the Republicans, is that the president's power is as much a constraint as it is an advantage. The administration's publicly stated reason for creating the deadline was to give Congress time to work through legislation in advance of the August 2nd, date set when we'll start defaulting. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner has said that that's the date. But as Congress showed during late-night action to avert a government shutdown in May, legislative rules aren't chiseled in stone. And this is the thing, Again, we hear all this debt limit stuff, and if we don't pay the debt, if we don't raise the debt limit, we'll be, we won't be able to pay our bills, blah blah blah, blah down the line. But none of this is chiseled in stone. None of it. It's as simple as that. Now, this Friday's deadline is more of a political bright line for Republicans, the date after which the president will embrace even more radical rhetoric, you know, folks, as well as I do, and also use threats of default and entitlement disruptions to further squeeze the Republicans. No doubt about it. No doubt in my mind that that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, and this is what he's going to do. He's trying to put on the squeeze play and make them, you know, make them conform to what he wants. The Republicans should not give in, folks. They shouldn't. You will not see default, folks, unless the president lets it happen. This is basically what the deal is. Unless the president lets it happen, you will not see debt default. Now, there will be some things that may have to be cut, some programs that may have to be closed down for a while or whatever. We do what we have to do, folks, to balance the budget. Now, it doesn't have to be Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and things of this nature. He wants it to be that, or at least he's saying he wants it to be that, to scare people into running to their congressman and demanding that we raise the debt limit. Now, a lot of people aren't doing that because a lot of people are seeing through this whole thing. And, you know, we can only hope that this continues to be the case, that we do not should not and do not fall into this trap of raise the debt ceiling. That takes care of everything. We won't have to worry about it anymore, because once they raise the debt ceiling, folks, we're borrowing that much more money already again. And, you know, we will. There's no doubt about it. And it's sad, it really is. So we'll have to see what happens. Now, if Obama can't break the Republicans in the 11 days between the deadlines, he will likely be forced to accept a deal on some pretty poor terms. Once August 2nd arrives, the president's executive power will weigh heavier and heavier. He cannot allow default, and he cannot allow obligations to Social Security or the national defense to lapse. So he's going to have to do something, folks, like pay what he has to pay first and then look to pay the other things later. Now, the bond rating agencies, as I said, have spelled out the two scenarios that would result in a downgrading of U.S. credit worthiness, either an unconstitutional increase to federal borrowing that shows Washington sprinting towards the fiscal abyss, or an unbreakable stalemate on the debt ceiling. What Moody and the S&P are saying isn't that the U.S. will default, but that if Washington is so badly broke that a political solution can't be found to this obvious problem, worse problems may lie ahead for the world's largest economy. Well, there's no doubt about this, folks. But, I mean, again, we have come to this point in time in history. We have come to this point in time in our existence in this country where we have to sit back and say, we cannot continue to go down this path of just raising the debt ceiling every time we hit it. And, you know, I mean, this is the problem. And then, again, there's constitutional measures we're looking at that could be violated as well. I mean, and this is something that we sincerely have to work on. And I think, unfortunately for the president, he has not done that. He has not come to the table to try to bargain a little bit and get something else. He just wants the debt ceiling raised, period. If the president is willing to fool with that over his belief in shared sacrifice or balanced approach, the political costs would be simply too great. A narrow tax increase to please his base and save face would not be worth it. And that's the whole thing, folks. The proposal, which would spread out already agreed, I'm jumping ahead of myself here on the teleprompter. The best case scenario for the president seems to be the plan hatched in the Senate that would allow him to kick the can on the debt ceiling until next year's elections. I mean, you know, again, here we go, folks. I mean, you know, we've got to stay focused here and do what we have to do. And now you get the Senate trying to make some kind of deal to get him out of this trap. We need to stop the spending. We need to stop thinking that we can just keep raising the debt ceiling here and we'll be able to make it through no problem at all. Spending has to be cut, folks. That is the only way that we're going to get out of this scenario and this situation. We cannot continue to allow it to happen. All right, we'll be right back.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-558-4307.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. Over the past decade, the tax team at J.K. Harris has successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-558-4307. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-558-4307. That's 800-558-4307.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe. It's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010. 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
All right, folks, and we're back here on the Talk Show America show. Welcome one and all to the show. We want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. The final segment of the Talk Show America show, folks, here, we're talking about the raising of the debt ceiling and the consequences, possible consequences of that, and obviously why the Republicans' plan is a much better deal. But anyway, let's go to the proposal that was made by Senator McConnell from with the Senate. The proposal, which would spread out already agreed to cuts over 10 years, folks, and create a new panel to make recommendations for fiscal change, would deny the president a big victory on government spending and keep the issue front and center through the 2012 elections. But it would also get him off the hook, folks, in a showdown where there are increasingly no good outcomes for him. On the upside for the president, of course, in this deal, is it gets Obama out of the current mess. On the downside, it means that he will never, it means that he will have to relitigate debt and spending issues constantly throughout the remainder of his term, starting in September with the 2012 budget. What Mitch McConnell has done, folks, is offer the president a chance to take his political pain on the installment plan, and that may sound like an increasingly attractive offer to the president. So will the president go for the McConnell plan, folks? Will the president go for the possible bailout here of himself with this plan? The thing is that it's a good deal for the president to get out of the mess. It's not a good deal for us, folks, in the long run, because it gives him it almost gives him like a mini victory over the Republicans, folks. And this is something that we have to be careful of as well. We want to make sure that we're seen here, folks, for our purposes of the 2012 elections, to be keeping our nose to the grindstone. If it looks like we let him off the hook, the big fish off the hook here, many people are going to be upset, especially the people within the Tea Party movement and those that are, cutting and capping and balancing the budget. This is going to look like a rescue line thrown to Barack Obama. So politically, for Obama, it's probably a good deal. It may help him in some ways. But also politically for the Republicans, it's not going to be such a good deal, folks. A lot of people are going to take this, looking at it as them caving to Obama. That's what it'll be labeled as. You know, the mainstream news media and all of the political pundits are going to, basically say that Obama forced the Republicans to make a deal. Basically the Obama administration got their way. You know that's what they're going to do. You know they're going to take it and spin it, to their advantage. Now, of course, on the other side of the fence, folks, is if for some reason or other the president does not take McConnell's deal and basically the debt limit does not get raised, and we should by some odd reason default, and maybe by Obama just doing it just to spite, it's a political disaster for the Republican Party there as well. So, when we look at these things, we have to realize that, we're going to be looking at a total picture that could go one way or the other. The movie could end with Republicans looking like the good guys, or the Republicans looking like the bad guys for the most part. Obama, in this case, really, in my opinion, at least, is not going to look all that bad either way, although obviously some of his constituents may not be happy with this as well. But I think for the most part, if he's allowed to get this lifeline, it's basically pulling him out of the quicksand is what it's doing. And my opinion is, and my question is to the Senate, the Republicans in the Senate, why are we doing this? Why are we throwing him a lifeline? Why are we trying to bail him out, folks? We're not going to default on the debt. I highly doubt that very much. I highly doubt it very much that we're going to default on the debt because, again, it certainly doesn't make Obama look good if we do, because it makes it look like he's mismanaging things, the Obama administration. And we're not going to default. We'll deal with it. We'll get through this. It might be tough, but we'll get through this. It's like everything else, folks. Sometimes you got to go through tough times to get to the better times. So, we have to look at this from a whole perspective. And again, we have to look at this from the perspective of our children's and grandchildren's futures. If we can get them to be, I don't know if we'll ever be debt free completely, folks, and that's fine if we're not. I mean, everybody's in debt to some extent, in their lives, but to not have such colossal debt to where we're borrowing money every year and we're just paying on the interest, of that money and really nothing else. It's just it's just suicide. It's economical suicide. And it's a go nowhere scenario, where if we have a setup which can we can show that we're willing to put forth a proposal that will eventually clear us of debt, and maybe if it gives us surplus is great. But folks, even if it was to cut the debt by 90% to 95%, just think how much easier things would be in this country for our children and grandchildren in the future. Just much easier to deal with than right now, them paying the price, of our failures in this time in history. Just amazing. But Obama doesn't seem to want to move. I don't know if he wants to take this deal that McConnell's thrown him, because, as I said, to some, at least in the political arena, they will look at him as weak for having taken this lifeline. Now, and I guarantee you, if he takes this lifeline that's offered by McConnell and the Senate, the Republicans in the Senate, this will if he takes it, it will be spun as a victory for him by the mainstream news media and all the political pundits, on the left. We'll be spinning this tomorrow, the Alan Combses, on down the line, PMSNBC, all of these networks will be spinning this as a big power grab for Obama, and that's what they'll spin it as. So, and as I said, there's no doubt in my mind that at least in the Tea Party side of the Republican Party, the persons that are Tea Partiers, that are Tea Party members. And again, the Tea Party, as I always say, is not a political party, folks. It's just an organization of people who are, you know, independent of any central organization, who would oppose this vehemently, no doubt in my mind, because again, they want to cut, cap, and balance the budget. No doubt about that, and that's what they want. They don't want this political meandering, you know, that is going on right now. And this is just as Tom Coburn basically put it. It's a plan that is more of Washington not taking responsibility, not deciding that, hey, you know, we now have to do what we need to do to control federal spending and to get our debt limit under control instead of raising it. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, as Coburn says, it allows us to pass a debt limit without making the hard choices that this country has to make in regards to spending and in regards to where we stand in the political arena. No doubt about this, folks, whatsoever. None. You know, I mean, the economic side is something that we have to think about. Besides the politics. And unfortunately, right now, Obama and the McConnell is basically, they're thinking about politics. They're not even thinking about our economic stand, per se. Although Obama will try to tell you that, well, I don't want us to default. That's why I'm doing this. It's not anything about that, folks. It is about political standing for President Obama, because he looks like a failure if he doesn't get this pushed through. But if he takes the lifeline, he still looks like a success, because that's what the mainstream news media will paint it as simple as that. All right, folks, that's all the time I have for today here on the show. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. And we're going to catch you again here next week on the Talk Show America show. And hopefully you enjoyed the show today and the audio quality was better. We'll tell later on when we hear all of the recording. Have a great day, folks. Stay safe. See you next week.
God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.